Okay, up to Perek Dalit Pasuk Gimel. Perek Dalit Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, "Al kenei for tevel aretz." Now, because of the 10 things that we learned yesterday, the 10 sins. Allah v'chachesh, there was in enes, in chesed, in das. Allah v'chachesh, rotzeach, v'gunav, in oif, paratzu, dam, dam, nagohu. Because of the 10 sins, now the pasuk was on the sin is going to be a consequence. The consequence, zaken for teval, or it's the earth will mourn. The umlal kol yeshev ba. The word umlal means be cut off. It's hard. It's not such a common word. The umlal kol yeshev ba. All creatures will be cut off from the world, from the earth, Eretz Yisrael, including bechayas hasade. Include the base over here is not the usual way the base is used. It's including the wild animals of Oif Hashemayim, the gam, the gehayam, ye or seifu, even the fish will cease to exist. And this, what we mentioned yesterday, the Chazal we quoted, is that this, the sin of Gilui Arayos, is even worse than what happened in the time of the Mabul. In the Mabul, there was the world was destroyed, but the fish survived. Here we are saying that the fish will not survive, even they will not survive. Let's see the Mepharshim Pasukim, the Mitzvah of the Savid. Teaval means Tishachay. So I translate the word Teaval to mean it will mourn. That's not how he translates it. The Mitzvah says Teaval. Teaval. He does not say it means to mourn. Rather, he says it means Tishachay, will be destroyed. Look at the Mitzvah of Sion. He says Inyan Hashchosa. Tishachay Saretz V'yikareis Kol HaYoshev Ba V'gam B'chayas Asadeh. So he adds the word Gam. So when it says gam, the bays is really serving us as a replacement for the word gam. Tiye hakrisa v'gam digei hayom yayivdu v'los tishoer mob oritz. Nothing will remain in the land. V'inyan guzma v'haflaga. He says it's not to be taken literally. This is just an exaggeration. But not everyone agrees to that. I think some unfortunately that indeed this indeed happened. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi says teval techeraf will be destroyed. The Yigdal Ho Evil Ba. So again, Rashi is not like the Mitzudos. Rashi says the word Teval literally means mourning. And the mourning is a consequence of the Churban. Okay, that's not what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says that the word Teval literally means destruction. And he quotes the Pasuk, Ovla Novla Ha'aretz. And in that context, it means destruction. Okay, next. Then Yeos Seifu. Now, what does this mean over here? Yiz Arun Min Kodom Choy Vehoin. What is the word Yiz Arun? So Rashi explains. I don't know if you've noticed that in Hosea, Rashi seems to be very obsessed or very enamored with the Targum, seemingly more so than usual. Rashi always quotes the Targum. Unkelus Yonis of Zeal. But here, almost every single pasuk so far, Rashi is quoting the Targum. And so obviously, there's something to the Targum Hosea that's unique.
And because there's so much difficulty with the language.
The perish of the pasuk.
So,
well, really? Is it really more difficult?
Okay.
In Harami. So he says, Lashon Kilo Yoin. He says the word, the Targum's word of Yiz Arun is a hard word to translate. It means destruction. We always mean death. Over here, in the context over here, it doesn't necessarily mean, it means ki loyon. Ki loyon, of course, it also means death, but it has a broader...
But in the first word, he says it means diminished.
Which word?
Ye osfu.
Where do you mean diminished? Where do you get diminished? Yiz arun. It says...
Right.
All it says, Yiz Arun.
Diminished because of their...
No, that's the Judaic Press's translation.
That, he says, destroyed.
So I hear what you say, but my impression is, that's what the Judaic Press seems to be saying. They're giving you a translation of the word Yiz Arun that they have derived from other sources, but it appears that Rashi is coming to translate the word Yiz Arun. No? Rashi is also baffled. What's the meaning of the word Yiz Arun? That's not uncommon. Every so often we have a Mefarish that takes one of the Targum and says, I don't even know what this word means. What does this word in Targum mean? Let's try to find it.
I understand where he gets it, because Zaira means smaller, right?
Okay.
So that's where he gets diminished.
Okay, but Rashi's saying, so kiloyin also means diminished. What does kiloyin means? Destruction. Yes. When you destroy something, you diminish it to nothing.
Yes, both of them.
Okay, okay. So you're saying, you are taking the approach that there are two different translations. There's Targum, Yiz Arun, and then Rashi is coming to disagree, or give an alternative translation, which is Lashon Kiloyin. And Kiloyin is not the same thing as Yiz Arun, maybe. Right. But I think the similar reading of the Rashi is, to me at least, seems to say, is that Rashi over here is coming to tell you what the Targum also means. The Targum says the word Ye'or Seifu, we would not know what it means, period. So we have to come on to the Targum. And the Targum says the word Yiz Arun, but that's also a difficult word. But it's not as difficult.
Right.
And if a
Rashi... Yeah, you have
that,
and
right, so he's giving you other examples. But even in those other examples, it's not clear exactly what it means. So he's saying, okay, when you put all the pieces together, the bottom line is, it means in Hebrew, it means ki lo yom. The Targum translates it as Yiz Arun, and I think what he's saying is, and I'll tell you, that word is not the common word for us, so I'll tell you what it means in Hebrew, Yiz Arun, it means ki lo yom. And if you want to find another example, this is the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av. Asoif asifeim nu'um Hashem.
Rashi argues on the Targum, because Rashi says the Pasuk reads, first al kein tebel haaretz v'umlal, which means destroy, v'gam degei hayam yesofu. So it'll also happen to the degei hayam, it can be less.
From the
according
word
to
itself,
Targum, it's mashma yesofu is less destruction than umlal.
No, but that's the oretz. It says first the earth will be destroyed, the oretz. And then that's not the fish.
That everyone will be destroyed.
But then it says, what about the fish? Well, the fish was not destroyed, the marble in the
time. So that's why Rashi has to say here that
ki lo yoin. No, it will be destroyed.
Will be, that Yerusalem means they will be.
Okay, we're arguing over very small fine points, okay?
According to Targum, it means the fish will only be.
Diminished?
Will be diminished.
So you're saying that fish will survive?
According to the Targum.
Probably from the word
"so." Come to an end. So, but he's saying that both Michal and Meir are here for a very rare day. We should make a kiddush. That you both are in agreement. We should, very disturbing.
It's to his father.
I don't know what the world is coming to. I don't know what this is. Just the day has got just began. I don't know what's going to happen today.
It'll pass.
Okay.
It'll pass. It says that it's Torah, right?
Okay, so fine. Next, let's take a look. Okay, let's see. I marked off over here in the Radak. Okay, in the Radak, let's jump down over here. Okay, he actually explains this important Radak. We don't have to read. Let's read the whole thing already, just very, very quickly until the end. I only really want to focus on the last 3-4 lines. We might as well just see what it says over here. In Radak, page 55, Al kein teval ha'aretz techra v'sishuches eretz Yisrael v'umal kol yosheba yikares mimenu kol chayosheba b'chayas asodeh v'hashmayim im chayas asodeh. Same thing. Everyone's adding with im. It's not. You have to add a word into the pasuk. It's a mikra choser. V'hashmayim ki acha shetiyah ha'aretz chareva yikares mimenu adam v'hema. When the land is desolate, then the animals will cease to exist as well. So he's a chiddush. He says that it does not mean over here that the wild animals will cease to exist. It means that the domesticated animals will cease to exist from Eretz Yisrael, but there will still be some wild, vicious animals roaming the land. Ela behemos hagedel b'yishuv in bnei adam v'hi nikreis chaya. Oh, maybe you consider also the wild animals also will disappear. Unless he's saying a very chiddush that there's no such thing as wild animals unless they're also domesticated animals. They go together. Go ask people who know, the scientists who study these things today. Is that really true? What would they say about this? Is that you're not going to have in a region wild animals unless somewhere there will be domesticated animals. There somehow has to be a balance. Kemosha Amar v'rabo lech chayas hasodeh. Like it says that the chayas hasodeh will increase. Okay, that's in Shmos. Another idea that birds only hang out where human beings live. Oinemar. That's not necessarily. I just always tell you that when there were certain cities when they built in Eretz Yisrael, when you scout out land, this seems to be a fact that when builders survey land to decide if they're going to develop a piece of land, they look at the what is called the ecology. They look at animal life in the region. And if they do not find healthy animal life in the region, that's an indication there's something wrong. If they don't see birds, if you have an area of land you want to make into a development, you want to make it into a city, and you come to the land and there are no birds, there's no wildlife, something's wrong.
Something's in the air,
or there's a contamination, there's some toxins, vegetation, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Because if there's healthy animals, that means it's healthy for human beings. Here he's saying that's not necessarily so. I mean, you have to know what this means. How do you balance the two? Obviously, what the scientists say today is very true. But he's saying over here is that if you have a place where there's no human beings to develop the land, where there's not going to be trees, there's not going to be fruit, then birds are not going to come. They're just not going to show up. So why is there no food? Why isn't there food from the wild? There is food. There are trees. There are things that grow in the wild, which animals eat off of. I don't know. But whatever he says over here is that if you're not going to have human beings living, then you're not going to find birds. That's one interpretation. Now here's the part we want to read. They've gone away. They've wandered and they have disappeared. Now, here he goes, Visparish Gam Kain Al Echad Mishnei HaPanim. Therefore, you can learn this pasuk either way. When it talks about the birds, either it means that it's a guzma, it's not a guzma, whatever it means. Here's the part that I want to get to. Uvidivir Rabbasein Zal Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamishim Ushtayim Shana Le'ovar Ish BiYehuda. This is, I'm surprised he did not bring this down on the bottom of the page, on the Mamori Chazal. But after the Bayis Rishon was Chorav, for 52 years, a living soul did not set foot in Eretz Yisrael. Not a bird, not an animal, not in Yehuda. Shenemar al heharim me'oif hashamayim. It's in Yirmiyah, Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Vi'ad behema nodadu meholachu. And the Gemara Darshins, how do you know it was 52 years? Because it says vi'ad behema. Behema is begematria. Chamishim ushtayim havu. 52. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sheva Shonim Niskayim Ba, Gofris Vomelach Shrefa Chol Artsa. How do we know it was 7 years? I don't know. How do we get seven from there? Ubeis Bechayis Vaoif Ratzalomar Kigam, he's going into some grammar. Okay, so this is what he says, the number 52. The number 52 is just very curious to me because just 2 days ago in the Daf Yomi, the Gemara said the number is a very important number in Jewish history. What's the number 52? Avraham was 52 years when he began the Es HaNefesh Asher Osu B'choron. What?
His monotheistic movement.
It began when he was 52 years old, and Chazal say that is when the 2,000 years of Torah began in this world. Avraham was born in the year 1948 from Bria Sa'olam, and Chazal tell us the first 2,000 years of this world was Toihu. And the beginning of the year 2000 was Torah. Problem was that the Torah was not given in Har Sinai until the year 2448. So we're off by 448 years. So how can the Gemara say the year 2000 was the beginning of Torah? And the Gemara says an amazing answer is that when Avraham began to teach Torah, that's called Torah. Torah does not mean knowing it. Torah means education. Teaching. Avram was born 1948. When did he discover Hashem? There are many Mamar Chazal.
Yeah.
One Mamar Chazal says he was 3 years old. One says he was
52.
So then some say 70, 75. There are numerous Mamar Chazal. I have a whole sefer on this. It's called B'Shvili Nivra Ha'olam. It's a beautiful sefer. It's all about the life of Avram Avinu, focusing every angle from all the Mamar Chazal and Shoinim Achroinim and analysis on the life of Avraham Avinu, and he quotes there being all the numerous Mamari Chazal. That's exactly at what point in time did Avraham Avinu was he makir the Ribbono Shel Olam? And there are many Mamari Chazal, and the answer obviously is Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. There were different stages in his development. in his thinking, in his development, in seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly he was Makir Hashem, he was very, very young, but he reached a sophistication where he began to teach. He began to teach Torah when he was 52 years old. V'yes ha-nefesh asher osu b'charan. So you can't say that it's an accident that when the Eretz Yisrael was Chorav, when it was Chorav, until it began to rebuild took 52 years. Because just like from the time when Avraham was born until he developed to a point where Kimitzia in Teitzei Torah, where it was now a place of teaching, in the personal life of Avraham Avinu, so too for the nation, our homeland, Eretz Yisrael, you can't ignore the fact there's a parallel. It was 52 years until Eretz Yisrael now began to bud. The land began to be receptive for us to return after the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. We didn't come back right away. It was 70 years. Yeah, you had to go until the year 70 until there was permission was given. And then we didn't actually come back and rebuild until a lot of things happened. It took a very, very long time. Exactly, what does it mean 70 years? It doesn't mean after 70 years they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. It means after 70 years permission was granted. So we returned to the land. There's a whole, that's the Gemara Masechta the Megillah, all the different stages.
That's the Purim story.
Purim story. There are many different stages. And what is exactly does it mean 70 years? But you see the number 52 is a very significant number. That's what he said yesterday. You can't ignore the fact that today is this is now the year that the state that we are now in 1,948 years since the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Churban took place in the year 70. So now we're Tavshin Ayin Heilaf from Tavshin Ayin Ches. It's now 1,948. That's exactly the same span of time from the time the world was created until Avraham Avinu was born. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the world came to an end. The world came to an end, and the world has to start all over again. Year zero. If you know the Daf Yomi, 2 days ago, so the documents really should be dated from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We date our documents from Bereas HaOlam. But that's a modern invention. It used to be, until not that long ago, documents were dated from the time of the Churban. The Churban is year zero. It's like the world starts all over again. And there's a pattern. Just as when the world started from the beginning until the man who arrived on the scene changed the world, it took 1,948 years. So to now, assuming that the year zero was the Churban, the world starting all over again from nothingness, we have now reached the same amount of time that the world existed until Avraham Avinu was born, the man who's going to change the world came into being. Isn't that something that is very significant? You don't have to talk about the state of Israel. You don't have to get into 1948. Let's talk about the real years. Okay, Haloi Davar. You can't ignore that. That's a significant fact. And then what's going to be in 52 years from now? In 52 years from now, that will be equivalent to the time of V'yes ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. And then when Avraham was 75 years old, that was the bris bein habasarim. That was Hashem made a covenant. And history repeats itself.
He was 70.
So what was 75?
That's when he left. It says he went twice.
He went twice.
I mean, that's what,
another time.
Because they're short 5 years on the our boy, so they have to backtrack to when he was 70.
So it has to be, and also, you also can't ignore the fact that in this year, 1,948 years, the leader of the free world, he went and he said, Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, which Yerushalayim, that statement also is an acknowledgement that Klal Yisrael, the world has to come to acknowledge that Eretz Yisrael is part of the legacy, is the property of Klal Yisrael.
That our history is real, and by definition, our Torah is
real. Is real. So it's amazing. You see there are patterns. People don't want to look at these things. You know, you start talking like this, you're being accused of being a tzioni, a secular Zionist, and this and that. But you know, you can't fool yourself. And 70 years from now, we should all be alive and well. Will be exactly the same tekufa of the Bris Bein HaBasarim. The Bris Bein HaBasarim is I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. I'm giving you, it's a repeat of the whole, it's like the Mashiach is unfolding in front of us in all of these events. Look at this, the parallels. Halavai Achishena, you know, Halavai Be'ita Achishena, the Gemara send the daf. Chaval, look how much time we've lost. It should have been 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. And look, it's already now 1,948 years, and we since the Churban. And from the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, you know, we've squandered quite a bit. Mashiach has not come. Be'ita Achishen. Okay, let's go further. So this is what he says, the number, so I want to point out the number over here, of the number of 52 is a very significant number. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Okay, I don't really have too many mefarshim here. A lot of stuff over here is pretty straightforward. Maybe I didn't prepare that well, but okay, let's see. Yes, some Amori Chazal. I didn't mark off too much here. Let's see. Let's see. Pasuk Dal. Ach Ish Al.
We mentioned earlier that you mentioned that the fish didn't die in the Mabul.
Yes.
Mabul.
Yes.
But the Mabul wasn't an Eretz Yisrael.
That's Machloikis.
Yeah,
but according to the Radak, they were talking only about
Eretz Yisrael. It's a double whammy. It's a double whammy. Not only in the land will be destroyed, even the fish in Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. That's a very frightening thing. You're right. That's a very frightening thing. Okay, that's how we eat fish on Shabbos, right? We always say that fish on Shabbos, because the fish Shabbos is Maisa Bereshis. The fish are the only creature in this world that we can say goes back to Maisa Bereshis is fish. Everyone else left this world. We went to a space station, right? There was a break. There was a marble. We went into the Teva. The Teva, as far as we're concerned, was a space station. The world was not inhabitable. It was a nace. We came back to a new world. We came back to the second edition. But the second edition was not Maisa Bereshis. And Shabbos is Eidos of Maisa Bereshis. So the only creature that can bring us back, the Yichus, going back, Ben Achaben, all the way back, is the fish, is the gefilte fish. That's why. So during the week, no, you're not supposed to. Only tikkun. The Satmar Rav is very makbid not to eat fish. Unless only by a simcha, you're not allowed. You only eat fish either on Shabbos, Yom Tov, or by a simcha. During the weekday, no fish, because fish is a Shabbos food. It takes you back to Maisa Bereshis. Kol oichel dog bidog, nitzol midog. If you eat dog bidog, you're going to be spared from a dog. What does that mean? If you eat dog a fish bidog, dog is 3 plus 4, 7 on Shabbos, nitzol. From Dina Gehenim. You're spared from the Din of Gehenim. Dina of Gan, what? Dina Gan Eden. Okay, let's see. Alkein, Pasig Dal. Ach, however, Ish Al Yorev, Vial Yoichach Ish. Hashem over here is giving Musar. Ach, here is the problem. The problem is Ish Al Yorev. No one is willing to take up a good fight. There's no one in this. No one in this world that's willing to go and to quarrel and to give musr to the people who are doing the wrong thing. The Al Yoichach Ish, and no one is. There are two different expressions. There is Yorev and Yoichach. The Amacha, your people, Kim Rivei Chohen, are like Kohanim who quarrel. Let's go slow. Betzudos David Pasik Dalit Ach. Tirgei ach ish be'emes. The word ach here, the Targum, the Mitzudos translates in a very unusual way. It means the truth is. The truth is, which means we have a lot of words for truth. We have the word emes, we have the word beram, the word kushta, that's the Aramaic word, and now we are being introduced, I never saw this before, that the word ach can be substituted for the word be'emes. Okay? You have by the word aval. You have many words. Aval, ashemim anachnu, alochinu, asherinu, esoras nafshe, bishanoi leinu v'lo shamanu. What does the Targum translate there? The word aval, be'emes, be'kushta, be'kushta. So you have aval, you have be'emes, and you have, again, in Targum, you have beram, be'kushta, and now we have a new word for emes, ach, mitzudos, ach, be'emes. Shum ish al yoriv im chadero v'lo yochichenu. Two words which mean the same thing according to the Mitzudos. Ki kulam oisim hara malochem loichich lezulasam. Why should I give you musa when I agree with you? we're all on the same team. We're all corrupt. So there's no need to give Musa. Next words in the Mitzvot, V'amacha, Ma'amar Hamakim Ha'anavi, Hinei B'nei Amacha, Hema Ka'adas Korach. Now, what does it mean, Kim Rivei Choyhein? Does this mean to insult every Koyein is a quarrelsome person? Is that really what it means? Chas v'shalom, the Koyhanim are the teachers, the Koyhanim are, we're called Koyhanim, we're called the Mamaleches Koyhanim. So the Mitzudos very cleverly says, Koyin here refers to Korach. Korach who challenged, Korach was not a Koyin, but Korach was a Levi who challenged Aaron, why are only you Koyhanim? We also want to be Koyhanim. Being that they wanted to be Koyhanim in a way of chutzpah, so the pasuk here refers to Korach v'chol adosai as Koyhanim. V'amcha, page 56, Maimer hamakom elanovi hinei b'nei amcha kahema kadas Korach shahoyim merivim im Aaron ha-Koyin v'amru kimoichichim. When they gave them, like people who give Moser, Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem v'hema osu hara, and they were the evildoers. So here, the pasuk according to the Mitzudos very simply says there is no person. Ach means be'emes. A lot of translation here. A lot of slippery translation. Ach be'emes ish al yarev ve'al yoychach ish.
The usual translation of ach in this context is surely.
Surely.
Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni.
Only.
Surely.
Surely.
Goodness.
Okay, well, that's not the same as emes. Similar.
Yes. It is.
But it's not the same. Okay, but that's how you translate. Okay. The al yoychach, but you know, also you can say is, you know, ach is also an expression of frustration. What do Chazal dash in the teva? Vayishoer ach noach. Ach means only. You'll tell him surely.
I'm not saying it. Ach obviously is one of those words. It has a number of meanings.
No one here.
But the pasuk I just quoted from.
Okay, it means surely, surely.
It's just like this.
Okay, Einachanami. Ach, the Italian mean the MS? Okay, Ach, atzmi uvisari. Ach means surely.
Surely,
which is very similar to the truth is.
It's ach sameach.
Ach there means so dear ach is a michazal ash as the miot. A miot. Vayis ach means only simcha. And the gross says, what do you mean only simcha? Because until now, the first 7 days of sukkahs, you have dal minim, you have a sukkah, and you have a mitzvah of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha. Now on the eighth day, remove the sukkah, remove the dal minim, and all you'll be left with is simcha. Ach samech. So in that context, the Gros says the Pshut Shel Mikra means take away all of the excess.
But it's also a positive statement. It's also positive.
Of course. But Ach is a mid. What do we have by the most unique expressions we find by Noach? Vayishoer Ach Noach. Only Noach. What does Rashi say? Ach means moaning and groaning. He was coughing up blood. He was working so hard in the table to feed the animals. One day he did not feed the lion. The lion bit him. So Noach was coughing up blood. Yishoer ach Noach. A miserable person was left over in the teva. It's not a very positive expression. That would fit very well over here. Ach, Rachmana Litzlan. Ach, how sad is it that ish al yarev ve'al yechach ish. The Amcha Kim Rivei Chayin. Ach would fit very well. The same way Chazal translate the word Ach by Noach would fit very well in this pasuk, that it's a very sad reality that what's taking place in this generation. Where else do you apply to say that really by the Goyrol? Ach Begorol Yecholei Ka'aretz. So is that a Milo or a Chesaron? So we learn end of Yecheskel that when Mashiach will come, the land will not be divided by a garul; it will be allocated directly through the word of Hashem. Unfortunately, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were not holding on the level where they should have been, the high madrego where Hakadosh Baruch Hu can tell them how to divide the land. Ach, it had to come about through a lottery, which is Hester Panim. Okay, Purim is all about a lottery. That's Hester Panim. If Klal Yisrael would have been on a higher level, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have spoken directly to Klal Yisrael through the Nevi'im and told him exactly how he wants the land to be divided, like it will be divided when Mashiach comes. So they also, the word Ach, on the one hand means Ach, I insist, this is the way it should be done, but also has a connotation of miut, of an act of tzar. Here it fits perfectly like a glove to say the meaning of the tzar, because there's corruption. There's corruption, and no man is giving their fellow musa. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi.
Even the sound of it sounds negative.
Ach, okay. Dalet, ach ish al yorev, atem mastrin b'nevi'ei emes, shlo yirivun eschem. You are quarreling, you are warning. Mashmah means you are warning the Nevi Emes, don't give us Musar. Velo Yerivun Itchem, should not fight with you. Velo Yochichu Eschem, and should not give you rebuke. K'moy Shenemar Be'omois, Sh'amar Lo Amatzia, Koyin Beiskel. Amatzia, who is the Koyin Gadol, said to the Navi, to Amos, he said to him, Loi tinove al Yisrael. He warned the Navi, Amos, don't you dare open your mouth and give up a prophecy. Velo satif. Satif means to drip. And in this pasuk it means a nevuah is a form of dripping. Hashem drips down upon this world his will, his ratzon through the words of the prophet. Velo satif al beis Yitzchak, on the Jewish people. Yitzchak is a code word for Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak with the tzadi, and here it's filled with the sin, as we say about, as we occasionally we refer to, we call Yitzchak like a bris, right? A bris, we say the pasuk that says Yitzchak. So who are you, Yerovam ben Yoyash? That took place back in time in Yerovam. I'm sorry, not less later. Yerovam ben Yoyash, not ben Nevuah. Later in time, that was like one of the kings. Shenisnabe Hoshea b'yamav, Hoshea said Nevuah b'yamav as well. Hoshea said Nevuah in his time. Okay, so the point he's making over here is that the word over here, he's learning Shah, the pasuk over here is Ach, surely. He's not explaining the word Ach. Ish al yorev. You warn the Navi, you tell them, Ish means, Ish is the Navi Emes. Ish, it seems from Rashi, is a code word for the Nevi'ei Emes. And the Nevi'ei Emes are being instructed by the population, al yorev. Don't open your mouth. Don't give us musr. Do not quarrel with us. Do not try to improve us. There's nothing wrong with us. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The problem is with you, Ravi. that's what the pasuk here says. Do ish al yorev, the al yoychach ish, and no navi should give musr. The amcha. Now the next words of Rashi, the next page 56. The amcha kim rivei chayin, notzan im mal feihain. The word motzan means to quarrel. Anoshim nitzim. Moshe came across two men that were quarreling one with another. That's a Hebrew word, and the Targum is taking the Hebrew word and is making it into Aramaic. Notzan im malfeihan. Who is malfeihan? They're teachers. A teacher. What's the word? An alpoin? Aluf. Aluf lamed. Aluf base. Alpoin malfeihan. They're teachers. So now Rashi is saying something very interesting. That when it says here, the word kim rivei is not an adjective. The word kim rivei means it's an adjective. I'm sorry, for the amcha. Is the word kim rivei attached to amcha, or is the word kim rivei attached to choyhein? According to the Mitzudos, the word kim rivei is to be attached to the word chayhein. And the word chayhein is a code word for korach. Korach v'chol adasai, who wanted to be a kohen. You want to be a kohen? We'll call you a kohen. And what did you do? You tried to destroy the whole system. So the whole Klal Yisrael are behaving now like korach v'chol adasai. It's very bad. We'll just take a step back. According to the Mitzvah, this is a very powerful statement. It's telling us exactly what the problem was. The problem was, there was a demand of equal opportunity. Like today. Today, you know, there are a lot of, in the Goyish world, there's certainly a demand that everyone should be the same. It doesn't make a difference whether you're a man, you're a woman, what your age, no, this AIDS discrimination, gender discrimination, what type of marriage you're in, same gender, there can be no discrimination. Whether you're an African American, whether you're white, whether you're Italian, whether you're Mexican, everyone has to be the same. And that has spread to Yiddishkeit, unfortunately, to some degree, where people who are not strong in tradition demand that everyone should have the same rights. that women, especially when it comes to women, women should be granted the same rights as men. A man is a rabbi, a woman can be a rabbi. But you know, it all goes in those circles. So that is mamish, that's called kim rivei chayin, according to the parish of the Mesudas, because chayin refers to karach, and karach demanded kol ha'om kulam kidoshim umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. This was the problem in the time of Hosea, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. According to Rashi, that's not the problem. There is no mention here that everyone wanted equal opportunity, because the word Kohen refers to the Tzadikim, the Kohanim that were good Kohanim, and Ish refers to the prophets, and the people are the ones giving trouble, the common man is giving trouble to the Kohanim, and telling the Kohanim, don't teach us. We do not want to hear you give us a shir in Daf Yomi. We don't want to have a shir in Chumash and Nach. We don't want to hear it. We are quarreling with the teachers. The Kohanim is a code word for the teachers, because the Kohanim served in the role as teachers for Klal Yisrael. We don't want to hear your lessons. We'd rather you tell us, talk politics, talk about sports. Do not talk about religion. The famous joke. There was a new rabbi, and the first week he speaks about kashrus. And the Baal Abatim say, you know, Rabbi, here in this community, you know, we're not so into kashrus. Don't rock the boat. So the next week he talks about Shabbos. And the Baal Abatim say, you know, not everyone here is so observant. No, don't talk about Shabbos. The next Shabbos talks about Chinuch HaBonim. And the Baal Abatim say, Rabbi, you know, the people here, they send their kids to public school. They don't want to hear about Chinuch HaBonim. So the next week he talks about Taras HaMishpacha. Rabbi, you know, not everybody goes to mikvah. So the rabbi gets frustrated. So what should I talk about? I can't talk about kashrus, can't talk about shabbos, can't talk about chinuch habonim, can't talk about mishpacha, v'chulu v'chulu. Talk about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit.
But, you know, it's funny, when you read an amos about a mashiach said to him, don't do it here, go over there. They'll appreciate you over there. We don't want this over here. That's what they tell you, he's held a share.
Okay, say so according, there's a very difference, big difference in Pentecost, there's the Mitzudas and Rashi, one is the Kim Rivei Chayin, is referred to Korach, and then we take Kim Rivei, that the Korach are the quarrelers. Or is the Amcha Kim Rivei? Now you would expect a trap, according to Rashi, you would expect it should be a Mercha Tipcha, should be the Amcha Kim Rivei, and a Seif Pasuk, to attach the word Kim Rivei to the word Amcha.
Yeah.
The trop fits much better like the Mitzudos, right, where we're attaching Kim where Rivei.
It describes the Kohanim?
Yes.
Than
describing the Amcha.
The
right, rather than describing the Amcha. So you would expect the trop to be the other way around, but that's not the first time that Rashi did something like this, and not going to be the last time. So, and also the trop and the trop on Nevi'im is the Mesorah as strong? You know, it's not so clear how strong the Mesorah of the trop on the Din. Now, Chumash, it seems like a very strong Masar. Not all, because you look in the Tikkun Simonim, they always have on the bottom, you know, alternative sequences of trop for certain psukim, which is not always popular in the Chumash, but there it seems to me there are different traditions as what exactly the trop it should be on a certain expression.
It's more uniform now than where it used to be. I would notice in various Chumashim a few different words, but now I don't see it anymore.
It's more uniform. But in the Minchas Shah, in the Tikkun Simonim, he always brings down. He brings down the very bottom. He always brings down the other. You know, the other, and the most probably most famous one is Katointi. Katointi is an Asla Geresh, or is it a Revi'i? Okay, that's a verse like more popular, but there are a lot of others that are also by the Bila, Vayishkav, Ruvain, Esbila, Pelege, and then so that sequence of Trop
right.
Is also there's a Machlekes. What is the correct sequence?
Well, it has to do with the minyan of
Sukkim
also.
It's a pasuk right smack in the center. Okay, it's true. Okay, let's finish up Rashi. So Rashi, we have to say, okay, let's look at the Mamori Chazal. Okay, Mamori Chazal, so all we need over here is on page 57. The Amecha Kim Rivei Chayhein Matilin Kakoyhanim Chaloshim Al Hakadoshim Biyom Tov Avoloi Al Hamonos. Okay, it says in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, that the Kohanim would cast lots for Kodshim. when they eat the meat, whoever's working in that mishmar, that Shabbos, would divide the meat of the carbon. How would they decide who gets a leg, who gets a top, who gets a bottom, who gets this, who gets that? It was done through a goyel. But when it comes to the monos, there was no goyel. The Gemara's question is, what are you referring to? If we're referring to the meat was divided, what left is there to divide? What is the translation of the word monos, the portions? Omar, Rabbi Yaakov, Debray, Debas Yaakov, Avaloi, Matilim, Garolas, Alhamona, Shel, Choil. It means, it's the same exact thing, but it refers to the portions of the weekday. They would cast lottery for the portions of Shabbos, but not for the portions of meat of the korbanos of the weekday.
It says
Shel Chol.
You're saying Shabbos, it says Yom Tov,
you know? Wait, it says both. Avaloi ma'atilim garolos alamona shel karbona shehukrivu me'esmol shehu choil, which was a weekday. Now, b'yom tov pshita, the Gemara says, the Kadoshim, the Gemara starts off, not Shabbos, I am sorry, it means the Kadoshim that they offered on Yom Tov.
Didn't all the Kohanim come in for Yom Tov?
Right.
Do they avoid it? Whereas the Choyal, it's only that Mishmar?
Yes, correct. So maybe that's part of the reason. Let's see. Let's see what he says. Of Yabshita, of course. The Gemara says, of course, Ma'ad says, of course, on Yom Tov, they're going to cast lots. Well, I don't know why it's Pshita. Ma'ad says, of course, since the Amcha came, Rivi Chayin, this Pasuk. See, Chazal learned this Pasuk as a very a negative. This is found throughout Chazal. Chazal learned from this Pasuk, like the Mitzudos, not like Rashi. Okay, that Kim Rivei Kohen is a description of Kohanim, that Kohanim have a temper. Kohanim like to fight. Kohanim, it's in their blood to get into a good fight. And they derive it from this pasuk that Kohanim typically are Kim Rivei Kohen. And therefore, on Yom Tov, maybe we should, the Amcha Kim Rivei Kohen. Shaposik mitoyer asachayim kibale meriva. They like to quarrel. Afilu monos tochol nani yatiru gorolois kde limnoya merivais. So therefore, it's poshut on Yom Tov. There's a lot of meat. So therefore, there's what to fight about. There's a lot. Yom Tov, everyone comes, brings a korbanos. There's a lot of meat to go to fight. So therefore, we have to make gorolos. But maybe even during the weekday, when there's not so much meat, and we would think there's not so much to fight about, we would think that on Yom Tov and Chol we should. But maybe that doesn't matter. Even though there's not that much to fight about, still it's the nature of a kohen to get into a fight. So we should cast lottery. Kamash Malon, we don't. Okay, so this is a very important Chazal, and here we learn this idea where Chazal indeed say that it is not. It is a tendency of a kohen to fight, and kohanim have to know this to work on themselves not to fight.
So that was the get kosher.
They get kosher. They have a high temper. A man who gets divorced, a kohen who gets divorced, they have a very complicated get, which takes a very long time to prepare. And the purpose is he should change his mind. He should think about it, give him time to think about it. Because they're hot headed. Is that the only reason? I don't know if that's the only that would be enough because they can't there's no going back. There's no machzer gurushasai. He can't marry a gurusha. But is only so let's say they were the calmest people in the world, Kohanim. Would Chazal still require they have a get mekusha? I don't know, L'chari, yeah, because since it's beyond the point of return, a Yisrael can reverse. He can max a Gurushasai. A Kohen cannot. So maybe even if a Kohen is a calm, cool, collected individual, we would still want to get Mekusher, he should think twice before he does make such a decision. Of course, when you add to the mix the fact that they have a temper and they're impetuous, then of course, you certainly need to get Mekusha. I once got into a fight when I was in high school with a Kohen, a very nasty fight. Whew. And immediately, the assistant principal, without any hesitation, he sided with me and he said to the guy, "You're a Kohen, you have a tendency to fight." He quoted this Chazal. And I won. I won the battle. I won the battle. I was like, "Wow!"
Lost the war.
I didn't lose the war. I won the war also. I was blown away. I was. I never knew this Chazal. It was the first time I heard this Chazal. I was in ninth grade, and I remember who it was. I can't tell you his name. He was the assistant principal in the English department, and I got into a real nasty fight. I'm not going to tell you what I did to him. Cannot tell you what I did to him. And he was fuming. He told the principal, they called us into the office. And he right away just said, you say like, you're guilty, the other one, you're guilty, you're a kohen. Kohen kimrive kohen. Wow, I never heard that before. That's what he was quoting this Maimon Chazal, the kohen have a tendency to fight. And he right away, I assume he viewed me to be innocent based upon other information that he had available to him. He just used that Chazal as icing on the cake to stick it to him, to let him have it.
Isn't Marvin down in Meisel where they claim used to run up?
The ramp. That's who gets to do the avoida. So they would have a foot race. Whoever got up to the top won the race. So that was just stamaza. Then what happened was that they got into fights, right? They got into fights, and the one who lost would shove the not stamp, would shove him off the ramp. And it's nine amos, can be 18 feet. It's almost two stories. Okay, two stories. You can get killed. Literally get killed. That's a big jump. So they said, no more. We're going to cast lottery. Lots.
The father was there. The father said, get him out quickly. The father...
He was stabbed. Get out. So they should not
be
metame. He was dying. So he should get him out before this tumah. They were more concerned with tumah than they were concerned with shvichas damim. Okay, now let's chazal. Omar Rebelos, okay, next Chazal Omar Rebelos, then we're Issa Koyin Hisnaik Ba Azus Netzach. If you see this continues the same thing, you see it going as Chutzpah, Al Tahar Acharav. Why? Because Shema, Al Tahar, Shema Apostle, who? Shonem Al Chayhan, the Amcha Kim Rivei Chayin. It's not, don't jump to a conclusion that his Yichus is no good. Generally, if a person has bad Midos, that is an indication that there's something deficient in their lineage. When it comes to Kohanim, do not make such an assumption. The reason why they may be belligerent and full of chutzpah is because it's their nature. That's their nature. It's what comes with the package. It comes with the package. Kivaita.
Can you say that's the reason why by Hanukkah it was the family of the Kohanim that fought back?
Maybe it was, they were the ones who fought. Yeah, maybe. The simple reason they give is because it meant that was their whole life. Kohanim have no chilek in Eretz, so they don't have any land. What do? They live in the Beis HaMikdash. It's their life. This is all they have. So they were Moser Nefesh. The common man, what are they? They don't live in, they bring karbanos. What do? They have an occupation. They work the land, they have a profession. So I'll have a profession in Eretz Yisrael. If it doesn't work out, I'll go to America, I'll get a better job. They'll pay more, benefits. So they did not feel the loss of the Churban the same degree that Kohanim, who have nothing else but Avodas Hashem. That's why the Kohanim and the Levim typically in the generations were always the ones who were Moser Nefesh for the Beis HaMikdash. Because this is theirs. That's their chelik in life. Okay, next halacha. Omar, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Chazal say that the person, the best, marry a Bas Kohen. The best thing is to marry, the biggest yichus is to marry. So it says, you know, you're going up in Madrega. The person is a Yisrael, he marries a Bas Kohen. And a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, it's a bizoyan. Not today. But like, so, you know, there are families that they're very, I don't know if they still do this, so you hear that they're very makbid to keep the yichus in the family, if they're kohanim, the first attempt before things go wrong is to try to find a boy who is a kohen. When the girl is 18 years old, and all of the shidduchim are available, everything is available, and you have a choice. But you know, you have to watch out. You marry a family of kohanim, they have a temper. it comes with a warning, a disclaimer. Watch out.
Who has a bigger temper, he or she?
So that's the question. But anyone who has the yichus of a kohen, you have to watch out.
You have to check out the brother also. Like,
you always have to check out the brother. You always have to check out the brother. Next, Chazal. Omar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chamei shalof ma'avodim ha'yu lo le'pashchur ben imer ha'kohen. B'chulam nishtaku b'chuhuna g'doyla. They all were submerged. They all were part of the team. Hein aze ponim shebakuhuna. This family who had 5,000 servants, they all nishtaku because they all were absorbed. They all became part of the kohanim, and they were the mechutzafim. Amar Rabbi Lazar, ikar tiron ya shebohem hein. That's the ikar yichus of a kohen is this pasuk. The Iker characteristic of a Kohen is unbelievable Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, Yevamis, and Kedushin, the Iker Yichus of a Kohen is the fact that they have a tendency to quarrel. This pasuk of Kim Rivei Kohen. The whole Klal Yisrael is that much right? Them also, both Elu v'Elu, they can be Rachman and Bayshanim Gomli Chasadim, but they also have a toughness. They also have a tendency to be quarrelers. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chay. V'chashalta hayoy v'chashal gam navi imcha loyla v'domisa imcha. Okay, this is a pasuk that you're going to stumble by day. And the Navi will stumble with you at night. V'domisa imecha, your nation will be silent. Imecha means your mother, but it's a code word for the Am. Even though it says an Aleph is Aim, and Am, the nation, is with an Ayin, but this is very common.
Yisraelim,
that's with an Aleph. Right? The Yisraelim is with an Ayin, right? An Am is a nation with an Ayin.
No, but with an Aleph.
Aleph also, right. The Umay Soilam with an A, correct? With an Aleph. So these two, the Ula'oim Mila'om Yematz. And there is with an Aleph. Ula'oim Mila'om Yematz. So the word Imecha, mother, is always a metaphor for the nation. So that, what does this Pasik mean? Mitzvah Pasik, hey. V'chashal t'hayom l'chein t'ikoshel b'or hayom v'gam nab nivi ha-sheker ha-miya'ed l'chotoy v'yikoshel gam hu imcha. They'll stumble with you. I will cut off the entire assembly. When it says here vidomisi, according to the mitzvos, it means to cut off. I told you it means to be silent. Someone else says that over here on the page, but he says it means to be cut off. When the people are cut off, the navi is cut off. Now, this is a very interesting idea. We once spoke about this. Is you see, Mamshu, in this pasuk, we attribute the failure of the navi, to the people, and the common example given is this: that the minig is, the halacha is, that birchas kohanim is done through a makri. The kohen does not say yivarechecha until the bal tefila says yivarechecha, and then the bal tefila says Hashem. They say Hashem v'yishmerecha. Okay, there are three things in Klal Yisrael. There's a makri. There's a makri for Birchas Kohanim, a makri for Tkiyus, and a makri for marriage. Hare, hare, at, Nekudeshes. You never saw that, right? But they don't do it anymore. They don't do that. They used to. It used to be everyone used to do it. That's what they brought down. It used to be, but for some reason today we don't do it. So the question, why don't we do it today? I have no idea. It's not done today unless this is someone doesn't know. They have no choice. So why do you do it? So the answer is not to embarrass anyone. The Baal Tekiyah should not make a mistake. Birchas Kehanim, they did a Baal Peh, not make a mistake. But that's a very difficult answer because it's only 15 words and the person is getting married. The least he should know is he should know how to say Haran Mekudesh, even though unfortunately everyone knows that. And when it comes to Tekiyahs, well, you can't do the kias. Even at least the first one. Let the Baal Tekiyah. In fact, some makris, they don't do the first one. So what's going on? So the answer, exactly. The answer we discussed, the answer we were reviewing things that we've done before is that the koyach of the kohanim to say yivarechecha is only comes from the tzibur. The kohen can only be as good as you want him to be. You cannot succeed unless the people who you represent want you to succeed. If you have a shul and you have a rabbi and everyone in the shul is just chalish and can't wait for the rabbi to stumble and to fail and to make a mistake so they can fire him and they can hang him up, the rabbi will never succeed. If the people behind you do not want you to succeed, you will never succeed. If you have rabbeim, and the rabbeim, you pay them money to teach your children Torah, and the parents are always fighting with the rabbeim and everything is no good, then there's no way in the world the rabbeim are going to succeed. When it comes to marriage, the only way you can assume that the marriage will be successful is if it's done through Torah. The Mesader Kiddushin, he represents the Rosh Bezdin, he represents the system of education in Klal Yisrael, Halacha, Torah, education, Yerushalayim. If he is feeding into your words, into your mouth, Hare, Hare, that symbolic of saying is that this bias that's now going to be established is being built upon the foundation of Klal Yisrael, the Rosh Bezdin. Birchos Kohanim, we want the Kohanim to bless us. They only will succeed in blessing us as much as we want them to bless us. When it comes to Tekiyos, we need Mespalo to the Rebbeinu, the Baal Tekeya. The Baal Tekeya is going to represent us, he's going to blow the Tekiyos. The Tzibur has to tell him to blow. If he just blows on his own, so good for you. You represent us. The Makri is a representative of the Tzibur. We're giving Koyach into the Baal Tekeya. So it's exactly what it says over here. It's V'chashalta Hayom. You, the Jewish people, you will stumble. If you're going to stumble, then your prophet has no foundation. V'gam Navi Imcho Loila. The Navi will stumble with you at night. See, we stumble by day, it's easy. Day means the times that are clear and good. When do we need the Nevi'im? We need the Nevi'im in the dark times of life. They give us guidance in times of Hester Panim. But if we are not with the program, we don't even observe the Torah mitzvahs when it's day, when things are good and fine, how can we expect when things get rough, when it gets dark outside, and it's Hester Panim, that the Navi is going to come to our rescue? The Navi is only as good as us. He is our representative. If we stumble by day when it's easy and we choose to stumble, we cannot expect that the Navi is going to be able to save us when things are not good. V'gam Navi imcha. The Navi will stumble with you. He's not better than us. And then what's going to happen? The whole nation will cease to exist. V'domisi imecha. Your nation will be cut off. Will be totally lost and gone from this world. That's what it says here. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Pasuk Hey, v'chashalto hayom. You will stumble by day. V'sitaklun bimama. You will stumble, you'll trip by day. V'taklun af niviyeh shikra de'imchon kidiv lelya. Now he is learning here, not like I told you, from the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos, when it says Navi, he didn't say that it's Navi Sheker. Oh, he did say it's Navi Sheker. He did say. Okay, so I told you something else. I don't have Charata, because I have no doubt that what I told you is another one of the Farshim on the page. We'll see soon. But they're both learning here when it says the Navi. Navi means the Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker will stumble with you at night. Rashi in the Targum says that. By what?
Stumble with you by day.
In the day of the night.
The af nivi shikra the imchoin kidibulelia, like at night.
Right.
Okay, then you'll stumble by day together with the navi sheker as if it was light.
Night.
If it was night.
Right.
If it was night, you can see where you're going, but when it's night, you can't see, so you're all going to stumble. And then what's going to happen? The af heis kinishaschoin. What does that mean? So he translates, Rashi is translating for us, va avayesh kinesir shelochem. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that means I'm going to embarrass. Is that what the word means? Mechol? What does it say in your translation? In the Judaic press.
For which word?
Va'avayesh. Pasuk
5. Yeah, I know. I'm there. But
how did you translate it before? Mitsudo says to cut off. V'domisi imecha, your mother, your nation will be cut off.
Silence, he says.
Oh, that's a different interpretation. That's not what it says in the Mitzudos. Rashi's va'avayesh. What's it mean, va'avayesh?
I don't see anything for avayesh.
And Rashi doesn't say what. Do we read the English of the entire Rashi in Pasuk 5?
You shall stumble in the daytime, and the false prophets with you shall also stumble as if it were night. And I will put to shame your.
Put to shame, okay, yeah, to be ashamed. Vavayesh. Vavayesh. So he, now, we have the same debate we had before. Is Rashi coming to translate the word va'avhes, or is Rashi telling you coming to describe? I don't know what the word va'avhes means. Va'avhes, what does that word mean? It seems that the Rashi is coming to translate the word avhes means busha. Busha, shame. It makes sense, because the bays you have the suf and the shinu is interchangeable. So it means that you're going to be, your nation will be put to shame. When a person is shamed, you have nothing more to say. It's a spin-off on silence. Vidomisi means to be silent. Not that's not what it says in the Mitsudos, but that's what it typically means, to be silent.
Yeah.
And a person who's ashamed has nothing to say. When you're caught red-handed, What are you going to say? I'm put to shame. You're silent. So it seems that he's translating that when this happens, when we stumble together with the false prophets, in the eyes of the world, Imecha means the nation, in the eyes of the world, we look foolish. We have been put to shame. Let's take a look quickly at let me see over here. Let's look at the Chazal first. Chazal, okay, Pasuk Hey, the Chazal on the page 57 on the bottom. The Chashal Tachayev Chashal Gamel Yimchalayla Amar Rishlakish Talmud Chacham Shesorach Ein Menadin Oisay Bifarhesia. A Talmud Chacham who transgresses is a very controversial statement. What the Gemara is saying, Bizman Hazeh, because Meis Mechol Yoyim. Unfortunately, where you have Rabbanim, you have leaders, educators, and they're caught doing averus, either mamain or child abuse, or all these different things you hear about in the news. And what is the minig bisman hashkafik? What is the minig bisman hazeh? You hang him out to dry. You hang him out to dry. No rachmanis, no mercy. They attack. 300 spears go into his body, and he's on every blog. And every yukkel has to comment and say the nastiest things in the world. So the Gemara says that hashkaf is wrong. A Talmud Chacham, a person that has been proven to be in the past, a Talmud Chacham, shesorach, who makes a mistake, ein minadin oisoy bifar hesya, shenemar v'chashal tehayoyim, v'chashal gam navi im cholayla. So the Gemara makes a drasha, kaseyu kalayla. When it says the navi, when we stumble, it's hayoyim. When the common man is guilty of a crime, you can hang him up to dry. Hang him out to dry. Because people should learn a lesson. You did an Avera, but a Talmud Chacham, a Navi here, according to the Chazal, is a Navi Emes, not Navi Sheker. He's the real deal. The guy is the real deal. He made a mistake. He blew it. He made a mistake. But you got... What?
Purpose?
Whatever. Let's finish up. Gam Navi Imcha Laila Kaseu Kalaila. The fact that it says Navi Imcha Laila is the Chazal learned from this. You have to give him a little leeway. Obviously, you have to remove him from his position. Obviously, he's a crook, but you don't have to go out for the kill. Yeah.
Isn't there a statement that a Talmud Chacham who sins will
do tshuva,
and therefore you can count on it. And therefore, that would tie with this, that you don't have to publicly shame him.
Okay.
Now, because he'll know his mistake and rectify.
Today, like I told you, this Chazal doesn't exist. They have deleted this.
Yeah, because we don't have that kind of tzaddik or Talmud Chacham around.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
What the different definition of sarach is.
What does it mean, sarach?
What does it mean, sarach?
Okay.
I think there's a difference if the Talmud Chacham does something, makes a mistake, or when they do something very inappropriate and wrong.
Okay.
It's a difference.
Okay, you're right. All of this is open to discussion.
There are Rabbanim who did terrible, terrible things. And they were exposed.
Yeah. And when they're exposed, boy, they're exposed. They're exposed. Yeah. There's no Rachmanis. Do we go overboard today? Do we go overboard even for an individual? I thought there was a Talmud Chacham, a person who's very well recognized, being a very big Talmud Chacham, and he did something in public, and it really, really, really bothered me to no end. So I kept my mouth shut, okay? And there was one person I speak to, and I told him this really bothers me. And I was getting worked up. It was a private conversation. So he says to me, everyone's entitled to make one mistake. And he totally diffused me. I was like, and I walked away. I was so amazed because so rarely in my life when I get angry, is anyone able to calm me down? And the way he said it to me, you're right. Everyone's entitled to make a mistake. You're right. It wasn't appropriate, but okay. So we'll cut him some slack. So I walked away from that. It was like a lesson. You're right. Hitaka made a mistake. So made a mistake. And I don't make mistakes. And my whole life is a mistake. But
it's the first defense.
You're still correct.
I don't know if you remember at the OU, there was a whole thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's a very big.
Yeah.
There was a particular person.
Yeah, I know.
Successful.
I know.
He got a lot of kids.
I know.
Very, very, very
I know all about
successful.
It.
and he did things that were very inappropriate.
I know all about it.
It was a tremendous battle in the OU.
Oh yeah,
but they got rid of
him. More than one person. Everyone was involved. Everyone who knew about it.
A lot of people.
All right, let's not go into this. Yeah, but yeah, I know all about it. I know all the details. I know all the gory details.
Yeah.
So. But this is a very fascinating Chazal. And I don't have an answer. I'm just saying is, look what Chazal say. Look at society today. Is everything in order, or are we totally out of control? You can't change the world. It wouldn't make a difference. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, because that's the way the world is. The modern world, technology. Everyone today is the Gadol Hadar. Everyone has a computer. You can do whatever you want.
Society, it's the same thing. Society wants to expose everybody.
The Goyish society, but among us, what? Of course. But is that correct? Are we allowed to let the values and the hashkaf of the secular society penetrate our little ghetto? or what they are doing is right? Maybe there's something to it. You know, these are dangerous people, and they're doing very inappropriate things. People are being harmed. They're being harmed for life. They're being ruined for life. You know, maybe they're right. There's something to it. Of a Chazal. So maybe we have to reanalyze what exactly does Chazal mean. Or maybe no. Maybe what Chazal means is pretty simple, and maybe what's going on in society, maybe that's not appropriate. I don't know the answers, but it's something you can't ignore. You can't ignore what it says here, and you can't ignore the fact the way the world is set up, and there has to be an understanding of where to draw the line. Where is the balance? Everything in life is always about balance. Where is the balance between the very simple translation of what it says here and what we see to be true out in the world? And it's based upon this very fascinating word that a Navi is Balayla. It's the Chashal Gam Navi Imcha Loyla. If a Navi makes a mistake, so cover it up. Cover it up like the night. No one should know about it. Those are very dangerous words to say today, right? But that's what it says here. How do you reconcile this? What? So what does it mean, a Navi? It doesn't mean Mamish Navi. It means a person, like, this is a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham Shesorach. What does it mean, Shesorach? What is a Talmud Chacham? Enough said. We're going to stop here at Pasuk Vav. We'll take a short break. We'll learn a little Chumash.